everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Grunewald Guild podcast. I'm your host, Scotty, as always, and I wanted to apologize for missing a week. I've been pretty sick over the last couple weeks. I got some lung infection stuff, some bronchitis, things like that, and really, you wouldn't have wanted to hear me talk anyway on the air as I was sounding the other day. So we're back now. We're getting ready for summer. Oh my goodness, it is so warm up here at the Guild. I think it almost got to 100 the other day. The sky is beautifully blue, the birds are out, and it really does feel like summer. And it's a good thing, because our summer programming is only a couple weeks away. In fact, less than 2 weeks away. Oh, it's going to be so much fun. The first week of summer, we have some great classes lined up. I'm teaching, Gene Tudor is doing a Raku enameling class. There are just so many really, really fun things coming up. We had a great work weekend this weekend. Thanks for everybody who came out and helped us out up at the Guild. It was a great time. We got a lot of big projects done, and Lois got a ton of help in the garden. Everything is looking in real tip-top shape, and we are just super excited for summer to start. So today it's going to be a solo cast. That's right, it's just me today, talking to you a little bit about following your passions and inspirations. I have been a potter for many years, and I absolutely love working in clay. Personally, I can't think of a better medium out there. It can do whatever you want to do. You can make that clay work and it will respond to you. You only need your hands in the clay, and it's just really phenomenal stuff. One of the things, though, about having a medium that is so open is sometimes it's hard to know where to start or even what to do, because when your options are limitless, you know, what can you do? I can do anything. Well, now where do I start? Well, I don't know. You know, it's tough. So I've been in a little bit of that situation lately. I love the work that I do. I've been very happy with a lot of the work, the Sgraffito things that I've been making, my functional pottery here at the Guild, getting to use that in the kitchen and in the coffee bar and things like that have been just great. But for a while now, I've been really, really interested in traditional Chinese teas. And if you've been up here at the Guild in the past year or so, you've probably heard me talk ad nauseum about teas and the interesting types of teas that come out of China and the East, and also just all the teaware and things that you need to make them, or that you can have to make them. And so, just for me personally, outside of my quote-unquote real work as a potter, I was making lots of teaware. Lots of gaiwans and small teapots and things. And I was loving them. I was loving making them. I had a great time making them, and I had a great time using them. But I didn't really consider them very serious. They were just mine. I made them. I took them home. I used them. They got distributed out to the Guild a little bit into different buildings, and it wasn't really that big of a deal. But I noticed that the more I really focused in on those, the more interested I became not only in just the teaware, but the tea that went into the teaware, how you use it, the traditions behind that, and I became more and more passionate about that teaware. And as I became more passionate about that teaware, I started making more teaware, different forms, exploring different regions, different traditions, making things up on my own, putting the ideas together. And the more I did that, the more people started to pay attention, and the more folks came down to the pot shop and said, "Hey, that's really interesting. Tell me about that." Or, "I really like that. You know, well, can I have one?" And, you know, it took me a while to get through my thick head that, you know, this passion, having the passion behind what you're creating, really does go out and go into the viewers of your art. It's a real intangible thing. There's no way to measure that, I don't think. But there definitely is a feeling when an artist is very passionate about their work. That feeling is communicated to the viewer, to the audience, to the buyer. So now I've been making teaware for quite a while. Relatively for quite a while. I've been having great success at it. I've been enjoying doing it. I've had more and more people that are interested in traditional Chinese teas, interested in the process itself. I've done some tea tastings here at the Guild, and it has just taken off for me. So I don't want this podcast to be about tea, because if you want to talk tea, come on up or shoot me an email and we can talk tea all day long. But I wanted to talk about that inspiration, talk about that passion, finding that passion. And one thing that I see a lot in a lot of newer artists that come up to the Guild is they have an idea of what they want to do. Let's say for example, you are a woodworker, and you have an idea in your head of, "Oh, I want to make the chair, like the chair, capitalized the chair, the perfect chair. The only problem is maybe you never worked with wood before. Maybe you've never worked with this particular design. Maybe you've never worked with hardwood. You've only done softwoods. And so you want to work. You want to make this chair. And then you start getting into the craftsmanship side of it. You start getting into the nuts and bolts of, okay, how do I cut this? How do I turn these legs? Or, you know, how do I assemble this to be aesthetically pleasing and yet very, very comfortable? And you realize that that passion that you have for wanting to make that perfect chair, the fulfillment of that is sometimes limited by the craftsmanship that you were able to produce, okay? It's one thing to have a fantastic idea in your head of the perfect chair, the perfect teapot, or the perfect painting, but if you don't have those hand skills yet, if you don't have those, you know, months and months and years of learning behind you in your hands, it's very, very hard to create that thing in your head perfectly. And I think a lot of people get stumped there. I think a lot of people get stopped and they say, oh boy, I'm just not very good at this. I can't do this. This is too hard. What I want to tell folks that have that, and what I do tell folks that have that down in the pot shop, is you have to get rid of that type of thinking. You have to get rid of the, this is what I want to make, this perfection in a cup, this perfection in a chair, this real life on a canvas. You have to get rid of that idea, okay? Because in reality, you're probably not going to be able to make that on your first time, or your second time, or your 20th time, or your 50th time. You're not going to make that perfect thing in your head that you want to. But that's okay, because having the passion to want to make those perfect things is going to give you the inspiration, it's going to give you the motivation to continue to work and continue to make one that's a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better. You know, nobody practices something every day and gets worse at it, okay? You can have up and down days, that happens all the time, but as a whole, if you come and you build a chair in the wood shop every day for a month, I can guarantee you that the chair that you made on your first day and the chair that you made on your 31st day are going to be totally different, and that chair that you made at the end of the month is going to be much better than the chair that you made at the very beginning. Now, it might not be the chair, again, capital T, capital C, the chair, but it's going to be better, and it's going to be working towards your goal. Having that goal, that idea of perfection in your head, can be a real motivating factor, can be a driving force. But also, the idea of perfect craftsmanship, okay, I think can also be a negative. I think that craftsmanship is fantastic, and I think we should all be proud of our work that we do and the artwork that we make, or just the general work of our hands every day. We should be proud of that. But our limitations in our craftsmanship, our limitations in our hand skills, should not prevent us from trying new things and to stretching ourselves out and doing more things than we don't really know how to do. I will get involved in a project and I will think, oh my goodness, I don't know how to make this. I really don't have any clue how to make this. And so I have two options there. I can either say, well, forget it. I'm not going to make it. I'm just going to go home, or I'm just going to do something else because I don't know how to do this. Or I could say, well, I don't know how to make this, but I'm going to give it a shot. And that first one that I make, the craftsmanship might be pretty bad, okay? It might fall apart. But I did it. And if it had just, if it contained just a little spark of that initial idea, that initial goal, and if there's somewhere in that object that I was making, I see a little bit of what I was trying to do, that's the little fish hook, I think, for artists that pulls you in farther and says, okay, well, that one didn't work out so well, but I'm going to try that again. And now I know, I know what I did wrong there. I'm going to try it again. And you try it again, and it gets a little bit better, but it's still not there. And you try it again, and it gets a little better, and it's still not there. And you work in steps and in stages, farther and farther on towards your fully realized piece. And in the process, you realize that the craftsmanship of your work is rising and rising and rising up, okay? Until the level of your abilities matches the inspiration, matches the idea in your head of the object that you're going to create, okay? And once that happens, then you are set free. You can do whatever you want to, okay? You can make that chair. You can make another chair. You might make the chair and realize, well, but now I know I have an idea how to make a better one. And now I have an idea how to make a better one. And on and on and on and on, okay? okay? I do that all the time with my cups. I love making cups. I make cups almost every day in the studio. And every time I think I got the perfect cup, I can't imagine a cup is any better. I'll see one in that set of cups that looks at me and I look at it and I say, oh, I like what that did. I like what that did. I'm going to do that again. And then I have a new cup, a new perfect cup. But one thing that I always try to caution myself in the studio, in the pottery studio, is do not make your pursuit of craftsmanship your only goal. Because I find it very easy for myself to get captured or enamored with the idea of perfect craftsmanship, in quotes. I don't think there is a perfect craftsmanship. I think there's always room to improve. But I really am looking for the essence of the piece, the spirit of the cup, the spirit of that chair, or what have you. And I'm looking to create that, not to make it the most masterfully made thing ever. Because sometimes I look at the most beautifully, masterfully constructed things, and I see no life in them. And I want better than that for my work, and I want better for that for my students' work. I want you to see the life. I want my students to see the life and the passion and the livingness and the messiness of art making in their work. And I want them to move on. I want them to keep going and pursue that and pursue that. So as you're thinking about coming up and taking a class this summer, maybe you have an idea that you've wanted to come up and take a stone carving class or a painting class, but you think, oh my goodness, I don't know. I don't think I have the skills for that. I believe that you do, locked up in you, but you have to paint. You have to paint, you have to carve, you have to throw, you have to build in order to pull that craftsmanship, pull those skills out of you to create the piece that you really want to make. And don't be discouraged when that one piece isn't perfect, because it's on the way to being perfect. So thank you for listening to my little ramble today. I hope to see you all up here in the summer. I am very, very excited to have another summer here at the Guild. It's just around the corner. It's going to be a beautiful summer, and I hope to see you all there soon. Have a great day, and I'll talk to you next week.
Well, it's dark in the city. I've lost my pride. The lights in the streets hide the stars from my eyes. It's been a long...